he said, letting himself fall back, arms splayed out. I'm suddenly very sleepy. I don't think being unconscious is actually very restful. You can sleep after we've cleared this place out, Rufus said, moving to stand over Jason. He held out a hand, which Jason gripped reluctantly, letting Rufus pull him to his feet.
You found our gear, then, Gary said, looking at Anissa.
Rufus, Farah, and Gary had changed clothes, but were still varying degrees of sweaty and dirty, while Anissa wasn't just geared up, but also clean. Jason looked the worst of the lot. His shirt was sweaty and smeared with trail dust, while his pants could only be described as wretched.
They have a storeroom in the cellar complex under the manor, Anissa said. Most of our equipment was there, but they'd already taken some of it away, including the dimensional bags, which is why I didn't bring it with me.
Let's start there, then, Rufus said. They didn't take my boots, did they?
Your boots are still there, Anissa said, prompting relief on Rufus's face.
Summoning time? Gary asked.
Go ahead, Rufus said.
No, Anissa countermanded. Your summons are both too destructive. My church is seizing this estate, so I won't let you destroy it.
At the summons, search the grounds, Rufus said. If that doesn't flush out any hiding cultists, nothing will.
They'll ruin the grounds, Anissa said.
Priestess, Rufus said to Anissa, you brought this contract to us, so I'm willing to accommodate you, but only to a degree. After what we've already gone through, I'm not going to compromise the capabilities of this team to save your church from hiring a landscape gardener. Is that understood?
Anissa's face was a picture of unwillingness, but she nodded acquiescence.
My dad's a landscape architect, Jason said. I don't think we could get him out here, though.
All right, Gary said. We'll just whip out the old summons and then pillage the manor.
You will not, Anissa commanded.
Come on, Rufus,
Gary said, not bothering to appeal to the elf.
What's the point of being an adventurer if we can't do a little looting?
Rufus frowned.
Any personal possessions you find, you can take, Rufus said. Anything that is part of the manor stays where it is. That's furniture, decorations, art, whatever. And no unnecessary damage. He waved a finger between Gary and Farah. This means you two, he said. Anissa still looked like she had a mouthful of lemon, but didn't protest further.
Fine, Gary said. It'll be a conservative pillage.
Not helping, Rufus said through clenched teeth. Gary, Farah, you're staying out here. Use your summons to flush out any loose cultists.
But the loot, Gary said.
Maybe think about that next time you open your big mouth, Rufus said.
My mouth was closed, Farah complained, drawing a scolding look from Rufus.
Fine, she said. Just find any cultists still on the ground, and pick up any who make a run for it, Rufus said. Anissa and I will sweep the manor, so you may get some people running out.
What about my gear? Gary asked.
You can collect it once the place is clear. Do you really need your hammer now that the collar is off?
Gary held up a fist, now encased in metal by the gauntlet of his armor.
No,
he acknowledged reluctantly.
Gary's chagrin seemed to mollify Anissa somewhat. Gary stepped away from the group and untied from his belt the pouch Farah had given him earlier. Opening a small flap that served as a nozzle, he started pouring a grey powder from the pouch onto the ground in a circle.
Are those iron filings? Jason asked.
They are, Farah said. Summons are a little more involved than most essence abilities, and require something to act as a medium. Salt circles are most common, but plenty use other things. For Gary's ability, it's iron filings.
She patted the pouch on her own waist.
For me, it's obsidian powder. We keep a good supply of both in my magic chest.
Gary finished pouring out the iron filings into a circle and returned the pouch to his belt.
Then he crouched down and held his hand out, which startled Jason by spontaneously bursting into flame. Unconcerned, Gary reached out and touched the circle. The iron where his finger touched almost immediately turned red and started to melt, smoke coming off the ground where the grass met the burning iron. The flame spread like burning a fuse, making its way around the circle. Once it was a complete ring of glowing metal, complex magical patterns started appearing inside the circle. From those patterns, something rose up, as if emerging from the ground, but the ground remained unbroken. It was a humanoid figure, crudely hewn from ugly black iron. With it came a strong smell of ozone. It was huge, around 3 meters tall. It looked ungainly and menacing, like something hammered together from leftover slabs of pig iron. In between the joints, the glow of molten metal could be seen shining from within. The head was flat and blank. The center of the torso looked to be two separate pieces of metal pushed together, the edges ridged like interlocking teeth. As he watched, its torso opened like a hideous mouth, revealing a pool of molten metal inside, radiating heat over the group before closing shut again.
"Impressed?"
Gary asked Jason, having already cheered up.
"Very,"
Jason said. "What is it?"
"It's a foundry golem,"
Gary said, proudly. A droplet of molten metal dripped from it, sizzling when it hit the ground.
"I understand why Anissa doesn't want it in the house," Jason said.
"You too?"
Gary asked sadly. Anissa gave Jason an unhappy glare.
"You," she said, making it sound like a swear word, "may address me as priestess."
Jason didn't care for being talked to like he was something scraped off the bottom of a boot.
"Well, you," he said with an insolent grin, "may address me as rakishly handsome Jason."
"Excuse me," Anissa said, barely believing what she just heard.
"You're excused," Jason said pompously as he looked away.
"Just don't let it happen again." Anissa's eyes went wide. Rufus stepped into her path as she took an angry step forward.
"Jason, you should probably stick with Gary and Farah," Rufus said. Farah took her turn to summon a creature. She poured out her own circle next to the ring of scorched earth that had been Gary's. Farah's process was the same, right down to the powder melting into a red-hot ring. Instead of a golem like Gary, Farah's summon was a pile of black and red magma with arms.
"Lava that can punch you with a fist bigger than my head," Jason said. "Why does she get that when I just get to see in the dark?"
"Well," Gary said, "what essence did you use?"
"The dark essence?"
"Well, hers came from the volcano essence, so there you go."
"There's a volcano essence? That definitely sounds better than mine."
"That depends," Gary said. "Farah's not great when it comes to sneaking."
"That's because she has volcano powers," Jason said. "Everyone else has to do the sneaking." Gary considered for a moment.
"That's a pretty good point," he acknowledged.
Rufus and Anissa made for the house as Gary and Farah set out through the grounds.
"I can't believe they made us wait outside,"
Gary said. As they walked, the two monstrous figures ranged ahead. Both emanated searing heat, so Gary and Farah didn't keep them close.
"I can believe they made you wait outside," Farah told Gary.
"Maybe we'll catch some cultists," Jason said.
"That'd be nice," Gary said.
"How long do these summons last?" Jason asked.
"Depends on your power level," Farah said. "A few hours for me and Gary."
It was around an hour later that Rufus came out to find them. He looked down the row of scorched archways, cutting a straight line through the hedge maze.
"You said flush them out,"
Gary said defensively.
"You were unspecific as to how," Farah added.
"Well," Jason said, "he did point at you and say, 'No unnecessary damage, this means you.'"
"Whose side are you on?" Gary asked.
"Justice." Farah snorted a laugh.
"Did you actually find anyone?" she asked.
There was one guy in some kind of storeroom, Gary said.
Did you get anything out of him? Rufus asked.
The storeroom kind of burned down with him in it, Gary said.
Rufus shook his head. We found a carriage shed missing a carriage, Jason said. It looked like they left in a hurry. Seems like someone raided the valuables and made a run for it, not even stopping to pick up the stuff they dropped.
Cowards, Gary said.
They can't be cowards, Jason said. They would have needed those horrifying monsters to pull the carriage.
Monsters? Rufus asked.
They're not monsters, Gary said. Hydals are just normal animals.
Jason had his first encounter with a Hydal when they found the stables. They were the size and shape of a horse, but with scales instead of hair and two heads, each of which had a horn sticking out of the forehead. To Jason's eyes, it looked like someone had put two unicorns and a lizard in a teleporting machine, and they came out blended together.
They're horrifying.
If you think they're bad, Farrah said, you're in for it when you see an actual monster.
What did you find?
Gary asked Rufus.
We found a few people squirreled away. After those cultists came back, the Lord of the Manor cleared out the vault, and they all took off, leaving the staff behind.
Wasn't the Lord that High Priest guy?
Gary asked.
Apparently not, Farrah said.
What did you do with the cultists you caught? Jason asked.
We questioned them and then we killed them, Rufus said, matter-of-factly.
You just executed prisoners?
What's wrong with that? Farrah asked.
Jason ran a hand over his face, the energy draining out of him.
Oh, damn it.
Chapter 18. One of Us.
With their sweep through the manor house, the group completed their mission. The cultists were dead or running, and they found plenty of documentation pointing them to the main cult.
So these people were only a local branch? Jason asked, as he rifled through a closet.
That's right, Rufus said, opening a chest of drawers. It's called the Red Table. They're only weak in remote areas like this. Corps membership takes higher-ranked adventurers than us to deal with.
They decided to remain at the manor overnight before leaving. Jason was able to explore and was surprised at what he found. Rather than the medieval technology he was expecting, magic had been used to replicate amenities from indoor plumbing to lighting to refrigerators. The horrors found in the cannibal's kitchen were the stuff of nightmares. Jason was looking for clothes to replace the filthy rags his current outfit had become. The local fashion was big on loose fits, letting airflow combat the desert heat. That made it easy to find something in his size. He put together something suitable and took a hot shower, the water flow and temperature controlled by a pair of crystals. After he stepped out, feeling refreshed, he put on some of the new clothes. The top was lightweight and breathable, fully covering the arms and with a wraparound hood to shield the head and face from the sun. Gary had worn something similar for their previous trek across the desert. The rest of the outfit was loose pants and practical desert boots. Underneath were the silkiest pair of boxer shorts he had ever encountered. He hesitated before using purloined underwear, but he decided not to go commando when they were headed back into the desert. He wondered if he had killed the person whose clothes he now wore. As for his old clothes, only the t-shirt was salvageable. The pants and sandals were beyond saving and got thrown away. You no longer own items belonging to the starting gear outfit. Starting gear outfit has been removed from the outfit tab of your inventory. Remembering the outfit tab, Jason played around with it, creating several outfits from the clothes he had collected. His snake tooth dagger had been retrieved along with the gear from the rest of the group, so it joined the default ensemble, along with the snakeskin belt and sheath. He put together a few extra outfits, creating more sets for them. Conveniently, items in the outfit tab didn't take up space in his main inventory slots. The most interesting part was when he changed outfits. Switching gear sets shrouded his body in dark mist for a brief moment, during which the old gear was returned to the inventory and the new gear appeared directly on his person. He switched rapidly back and forth between outfits to try it out. The dark smoke lightly tingled his skin. Nighttime found Jason laying in a bed, staring at the ceiling. He was exhausted after the strangest and most dangerous day of his entire life, but his mind refused to retreat into sleep. Shoving off the covers, he opened his inventory to throw on one of his new outfits. The group had claimed bedrooms in a row on the top floor. A shared balcony connected all the rooms, each accessible through French doors. Jason opened his set of doors and wandered out. He rested his hands on the balustrade and looked up at the sky. In a massive field of stars, a pair of moons shone bright, one half moon and one crescent. I really am in a different world. You're just figuring that out. Rufus's voice came from behind. Jason turned to see Rufus emerging from his own room. He walked over and joined Jason in leaning on the balustrade. Couldn't sleep either? Jason asked. I'm on watch, Rufus said. We don't think the cultists will come back, but they've surprised us before. We're rotating turns through the night. Didn't want me to take a turn? Jason asked. Honestly? No. Jason chuckled. Good call. He turned his gaze back to the sky. So why aren't you sleeping? Rufus asked. I would have thought you'd be out the moment you hit the sheets. Everything that happened today just keeps running through my head, Jason said. I was concussed for most of it, so it feels like it wasn't me somehow. But it was me. It was my hands I washed the blood from. You were impressive today. We'd be dead if it wasn't for you. It didn't feel impressive. It felt like a perpetual state of desperation and panic. I think all the blows to the head may have helped, strangely enough. My head hurt like hell, but I was too punch-drunk to really think about what was happening. Otherwise, I would have freaked out and hidden under a table. I don't believe that, Rufus said. I've seen a lot of adventurers. Most you can teach, but some will never have what it takes. Others, he patted Jason on the shoulder. Others take to it like it's what they were born for. You've got the stuff, Jason. Jason sighed. It doesn't feel like I've got the stuff. Not the stuff you're talking about anyway. When I first woke up here, I had no idea of what was happening or where I was. I didn't think any of this was real. The best explanation was that I'd gone mad and it was all in my head. You thought I was imaginary? Rufus asked. By the time I met you, Jason said, I was past stopping to contemplate. I was too busy scrambling from one deadly situation to the next. You certainly arrived in rough circumstances. Impossible circumstances from my perspective, Jason said. Everything in this place is impossible. Where I come from, there's no magic, no elves. Definitely no awesome lion men named Gary. Monsters are just myths and metaphors. Stories we tell ourselves about the dark corners of our own nature. But now you believe it. That all this is real. Jason nodded. Anissa gave me pause, but yeah. Anissa? A haughty elf girl in tight leather that doesn't hide how much she dislikes me? That's exactly the kind of thing my brain would throw out. Rufus gave Jason a sideways look. Don't look at me like you don't have hang-ups, Jason said. I didn't say a thing. Sure, mate. But I get it. She's real. It's all real. This experience has been too long and too coherent, even with the concussion. Any explanation that makes sense in my world doesn't fit. At least, none that I know of. Hallucinations, madness, dreams, the ability to muster even a little bit of logical detachment implies that they aren't the answer. Jason sighed again. If nothing else, he continued, there's just too much going on for me to have come up with all of it. I don't have the imagination to have thought up all this. I mean, broad strokes, maybe, but not all the little details. Well, Rufus said, now that you've accepted it, what comes next? I have no idea, Jason laughed.
If I'm really here, then I guess I start looking for a way home.
You don't seem too enthusiastic about that.
I didn't leave a lot behind, Jason said. I kind of made a mess of my life.
A fresh beginning, then, Rufus said. You can start by becoming an adventurer, like us.
Jason looked over at Rufus.
I'm not sure that's what I want, Jason said. This, today, is what you do, right?
It normally goes more smoothly, Rufus said. Not so dangerous, although it's a dangerous life, I won't lie.
It's not the danger that worries me, Jason said.
Well, it is, but that isn't what's keeping me awake.
It was the first time you've killed someone? Rufus asked softly.
Jason nodded.
This time yesterday, he said, I hadn't been in a fight in 10 years. I don't remember what it was about, some nonsense that seemed important when I was 13. A child's fight for a child's reasons. But I killed people today. I can tell myself they were evil, but that doesn't matter. I can say I was defending myself, but I manipulated people in order to bring about their deaths.
Jason shook his head.
That isn't even the worst part, he said. That came later, when I was lying in bed, a stranger's bed, maybe even someone I killed. That was when I realized I had to count to remember how many people I murdered today. And that's when I got out of bed again.
Jason fell quiet, and they stood in silence, looking out into the dark for some time.
I'm guessing your world is a safe one, Rufus said, after contemplating Jason's words.
Not all of it, Jason said. But my part? Yeah.
That's good, Rufus said. But you have to accept that you're not there anymore. This world can be hard, and life can be cheap. You said it doesn't matter that the ones you killed were evil. But you're wrong. You think we were the first people on their chopping block. You saw what was in that kitchen. There's a larder downstairs with a cell to keep people in, and it wasn't a new cell either. They've been doing this for a long time. If we hadn't stopped them, they'd have killed us too and plenty more after. I don't know what justice is like in your world, but in this one, it sometimes comes down to people like us dealing with people like them.
I'm not sure I can be that hard, Jason said.
I saw you today, Rufus said. You can be.
And if I don't want to be?
Rufus nodded.
That's a choice only you can make. I don't know what kind of person you were before, but this is a chance to leave that person behind. To become whoever you choose to be. That's a rare chance. Just remember that every choice has its consequences, even if you choose to do nothing.
Rufus looked over at Jason, then back out at the night sky.
I'm an adventurer, Rufus said. Being an adventurer can open every door, give you everything you ever wanted. Power, money, respect, travel the world, see amazing things. 9 days out of 10, being an adventurer is the best thing you could possibly be. But on that 10th day, that's the one when you earn all the others. When you make the hard choices. When you walk through fire so no one else has to.
Rufus turned to Jason, giving him a weary smile.
Has it made me callous? Rufus asked.
Yes, it has.
Has it cost me sleep?
Absolutely.
But there's a whole lot of people sleeping safe and happy tonight because of me and people like me. You can be one of those safe and happy people if you want, never making the hard choices, never doing the things that need to be done. But think about what happened to you today. You stood up in a horrifying situation and you took control. The safe and happy people don't get to do that. When fate comes for them, they need people like me to stand in its way. That's fine, it's what I'm here for. But if you want to control your own fate instead of people like me doing it for you, then you have to become one of us.
Rufus took a deep breath, letting it out slowly.
I'm not going to lie, he continued. If you become an adventurer like we are, this won't be the last night of sleep you lose.
Is it worth it? Jason asked.
Only you can answer that. You saved lives today, mine included, but you had to stain your hands doing it.
If you got to remake those choices, would you do it all again?
I don't know. Rufus pushed himself off the balustrade.
Give it some thought, he said. When you can answer that question, maybe you'll know what to do. I'm going to patrol around a little. You've got a lot to think about.
He walked off, but Jason called out to him before he disappeared back into the manor.
Rufus?
Yeah?
If I decide to become an adventurer, what do I need to do?
We can teach you, he said, but you start by absorbing more essences. Before everything else, adventurers are strong.
Chapter 19. I Want a Lava Cannon.
I'm not sure I'm comfortable doing it with everyone watching, Jason said. It was a clear-skied morning, but the magic affecting the manor's climate dulled the scathing desert heat to a pleasant warmth. Jason, Rufus, Gary, and Farah had gathered on a terrace, sitting on some patio furniture. Most of them were gathered around a picnic table in chairs, but Gary was too big for the chairs and went to find another seat.
But you said I could watch, Farah said to Jason.
Actually, you asked, Rufus said, but he didn't answer either way.
I want to watch too, Gary said.
He picked up a low bench, which turned out to have been affixed to the tiled terrace. Some of the tiles came loose along with the bench. Gary looked at the damage and shrugged.
Can you please stop destroying the place? Rufus asked. Anissa is prickly enough at the best of times.
Compared to what we did to the hedge maze, this is nothing, Gary said.
And you somehow think that makes it better? Rufus asked.
Gary walked back to the group and dropped the bench loudly. The legs were uneven after having been torn from the ground, but Gary was happy enough and plonked himself down. The bench loudly scraped the terrace under his weight as Rufus wearily shook his head.
I'm part of the Magic Society, Farah said to Gary. My interest in seeing Jason use an essence is academic. What would you get out of it?
What else am I going to do? Gary asked. Help Anissa organize documents? No thanks.
That probably wouldn't go well for anyone, Farah acknowledged. The missing member of the group, Anissa, was in the manor's main study. They had managed to dig out various letters and other records linking the occupants to the blood cult in other regions. Before they left the manor behind, she was gathering it together for use as evidence.
You might as well stick around, Jason said. I don't want anything happening to me if I pass out again. Don't anticipate a great show of dignity.
I'm still a little surprised you got your hands on so many essences, Rufus said. You did say you only arrived in our world yesterday, right?
It was a busy day, Jason said.
You're not wrong there, Gary said.
Should I be doing this on an empty stomach? Jason asked. I'm hungry, but I don't trust any of the food here. All the kitchen had was every nightmare I'm ever going to have again.
Sorry, Farah said, but we didn't pack food.
Right, you all eat money, which definitely isn't weird. I do have some tyrannical pheasant meat. Maybe we could roast it with your fire powers.
I love tyrannical pheasant, Gary said. How did you stop it from dissolving with the rest of the monster? Do you know monster harvesting magic?
There's a magic for that? It's an ability I have.
Makes sense, Rufus said.
Outworlders all have different abilities, but they're usually all focused around giving them tools to survive.
Farah nodded. Looting abilities are rare and valuable, but far from unique, she said.
If you have enough essences to make a full set, you can get to iron rank, Rufus said. Then you can just eat some coins as well.
A full set of essences is 4, right? Jason asked.
I've only got 2 more, plus the one I already used.
I don't suppose you have another one on you?
3 is enough, Farah said. I keep forgetting that you really don't know anything. Once you use your third essence, a fourth one manifests itself on the spot. They're called confluence essences, because they're a result of the three essences you already have. In my case, I use the fire, earth, and potent essences, which gave me the volcano essence.
Confluence essences only manifest after three essences are used, Rufus added. You can't find a volcano essence anywhere. Even when essences manifest near a volcano, you'll usually get essences like fire and earth.
Is that where essences come from? Jason asked. They just appear randomly. That's right, Farrah said. Your world may not have any magic, but this one has it in abundance, to the point where it just starts manifesting all over the place.
Most magic manifestations are monsters, Rufus explained. They just appear, hopefully in the wilderness, but the magic they're made of isn't stable. Eventually they break down and dissolve back into magic. Killing them just makes it faster.
Say you killed something that wasn't a monster, but an animal, Jason said. A giant snake, for example. That wouldn't dissolve into a stinky cloud.
Exactly. Monsters frequently aren't a problem when they first manifest, but as they get closer to breaking down, they become highly aggressive. The bulk of our job as adventurers is hunting them down before they reach that stage.
It isn't just going places and killing everyone you find? Jason asked.
No, Rufus said. I'm not sure I'd have the stomach for that. I definitely wouldn't care to work with those that did.
How long do monsters last before they go berserk? Jason asked.
Depends on the rank of the monster, Farrah said. Lesser monsters only last a week or two. They start so close to breaking down that they're aggressive from the moment they appear. But they aren't really a threat. An old woman with a broom can handle them. Iron rank monsters last about a month, getting aggressive in the final week or so. It goes up from there, but this is a low magic region, so mostly you see iron rank with a smattering of bronze.
Monsters have ranks then? Jason asked. Do they use essences too?
No, Rufus said. It just means they exist within a certain power threshold. Whether an essence user or a monster, each rank has a suppressive effect on lower ranks. We're all bronze rank. If you were to fight any of us, your iron rank abilities would have much less effect.
You can overcome that briefly by boosting your attributes with spirit coins, Farrah added. That only works to a degree, though, and not for very long. You have to pick your moment, because it will leave you weaker once the strength fades.
I know all about that, Jason said. There are other manifestations of magic, Rufus said. They're not alive, which makes them more stable, and they stick around until you use them.
Essences, Jason said.
That's the most powerful manifestation, Rufus said. Also the rarest. Then there's quintessence, which is kind of like chunks of essence.
Could you get a pile of it and use that as an essence? Jason asked.
Afraid not, Rufus said.
People have been trying to make that work for years, Farrah said. There's always some crackpot who claims to have figured it out, but it isn't possible.
Quintessence is still useful, though, Rufus said.
It may not be as powerful as an essence, Farrah said, but it gets used a lot more. Ritual magic, alchemy, weapon forging.
I make weapons and armor, Gary said. I go through quintessence by the pile. Literally, piles of it.
We found a magic supply storeroom yesterday, Farrah said. They took all the good stuff when they left, but there was quite a lot of iron rank quintessence left behind.
Nice, Gary said.
The last manifestation of magic is awakening stones, Rufus said. Mostly they're used to awaken essence abilities, but they can be used in various kinds of magic as well.
Like the thing they were trying to sacrifice us to, Jason said. He took out four red crystals from his inventory, laying them on the table in a row.
We all had one of these in some kind of ritual bowl wired into our cages in the chamber, he said.
Rufus picked one up.
I wonder what kind of stone they are.
Awakening stones of the feast? Jason said. All four are the same.
They're pretty common, Farrah said.
I had one manifest in my kitchen when I was a kid, Gary said. Right into a pot of soup. My dad said that's why the soup tasted funny, but I think he was just bad at making soup.
They can be useful with the right essences, Rufus said. They're common, so there's no telling what kind of ability it can give you. They'll be related to the concept of a feast, but that can manifest in any hundreds of powers.
Thousands, Farrah said. The more rare an awakening stone is, the more specific the powers.
So rare stones are better? Jason asked.
Not necessarily, Rufus said. A common as muck awakening stone can give you any ability the rarest could. It just has a much higher pool of potential powers. Rare stones don't give out better abilities, just more specific ones. So if you want a specific kind of ability, that's when you need to find yourself the right flavor of rare stone.
There aren't any guarantees, though, Farrah said. Even the rarer stone might not give you what you want. You should always remember, though, that the biggest determinant of what ability you get is the essence it comes from.
I have this blood essence, Jason said, pulling a red cube from his inventory. The slick surface looked like it was wet with blood, but it was dry and warm to the touch.
Hardly surprising that you found a blood essence around here, Rufus said. Blood is a fantastic essence, Gary said, enthusiastically. You might get a health drain power if you use all those feast stones. Then you can be your own healer.
Maybe, Farrah said. It could be almost anything with common stones, but blood plus feast? The chances are decent.
Self-healing would be useful, Rufus said, given how hard it can be to get a healer on your team. We have struggled with that ourselves.
What about Anissa? Jason asked.
Anissa is a temporary addition, Rufus said. It's usually just the three of us.
Self-healing is very common with blood essence, Farrah said. Don't expect much in the way of powerful attacks, though, Farrah warned. Blood essence abilities tend to be more insidious. Bleeding, poison, that kind of thing.
No lava cannon? Jason asked.
Sadly, no, Farrah said, with a chuckle.
But I want a lava cannon.
Chapter 20. By the Power of Greyskull.
You probably want your essence abilities to be more well-rounded than Farrah's, Gary said.
Hey, Farrah complained.
In terms of raw power, Farrah is easily the strongest of us, Rufus said. But that focus comes at the cost of versatility.
She's great at blowing things up, Gary said.
It's true, Farrah said. I am good at blowing things up.
Which, admittedly, solves the bulk of our problems, Rufus said. But when overwhelming, barely contained annihilation isn't the answer, it leaves her somewhat at a loss.
Power is always the answer, Farrah said.
Mass destruction sounds pretty good to me, Jason said. But it doesn't seem like the blood essence would give me that. Should I use it or hold out for something better?
That's up to you, Rufus said. It's best to consider what other essences you'll have.
Well, I've already used the dark essence, Jason said.
That could work, Farrah said. A sneaky assassin type. A bit of poison here, exsanguination there.
Just make sure you avoid the death essence, Rufus said, the others nodding in agreement.
Death essence? Jason asked.
The death essence has some powerful abilities, Gary said, but they come with big drawbacks. Very few essences have side effects, but death can produce some nasty ones.
Remember how we explained about confluence essences? Rufus asked.
That's your buy three, get one free deal on essences, right? Jason said.
That's right, Rufus said. More or less. Some confluence essences are produced by a wide variety of combinations. The death essence has a nasty habit of producing the confluence essence, undeath. There are so many combinations that produce it, almost all of which involve the death essence.
Take the blood essence you have here, for example,
Farrah said. Add in a death essence, and pretty much anything else in the undeath essence will pop right out.
Undeath is bad, Gary said.
The abilities in the undeath essence have a nasty habit of turning you into some kind of unliving monstrosity, Rufus said.
If it came along with the blood essence, Farrah said, you'd almost certainly get an ability that turns you into a vampire.
Vampires are a thing? Jason asked. They are, Rufus said, and they're bad. For one thing, they can't sustain themselves with spirit coins or even regular food anymore. They drink blood, Jason said.
They do, Rufus confirmed.
Imagine having vast magical powers and an unquenchable thirst for blood.
Not a combination good for public safety, Jason said.
Rufus nodded. People with the undeath essence almost always awaken a power that changes them like that, he said. Such powers are very strong, but they all bring with them unnatural appetites.
If that wasn't enough, Farrah added, they can often turn normal people into monsters, like them. Not with the essence powers of the original, but dangerous enough.
Vampires turning other people into vampires, Jason said. Can't beat the classics.
Even if the undeath essence doesn't turn you into a monster, Farrah added, it tends to give out less than palatable abilities.
You already said that the blood essence has life-draining powers, Jason said. Less palatable than that?
Yes, Gary growled. No one will mind if you drain some health out of a guy that stabbed you. As long as you don't drink his blood to do it anyway. When you raid the local cemetery, though, no one wants their dead family members shambling into town as part of your undead army.
And that's one of the lesser evils, Farrah said. We actually all met fighting a zombie plague.
A proper zombie plague? Jason asked. Zombies turning other people into zombies, the whole deal.
The whole deal. Gary said. Entire towns were burned out just to contain it. Bad business.
None of us want to see something like that again, Farrah said. If you get the undeath essence, we'll kill you ourselves.
Jason looked at the expression on the faces of the others and saw they weren't joking. Avoiding the death essence, then, he said. On top of everything else, Rufus said, the Adventure Society has a list of restricted essences that pose an inherent threat to ordinary people.
The death essence sitting at the top of that list, Gary said.
Mostly it's combinations of essences, Rufus explained, since the confluence essence is usually the bad one. The death essence is on the list by itself, though, because it always seems to go wrong. You need to pay attention to the restricted essences. It's impossible to get membership in the Adventure Society if you have one of them.
And I want to be a member of this Adventure Society? Jason asked.
You do, Rufus said emphatically. Well, Jason said, I don't have a death essence, but I'm a little wary of the one I do have. Jason took a second cube from his inventory. This one looked like white jade flecked with gold. Item, Sin Essence, unranked, legendary. Manifested Essence of Transgression, consumable essence. Requirements, less than 4 absorbed essences. Effect, imbues 1 awakened Sin Essence ability and 4 unawakened Sin Essence abilities. You have absorbed 1 of 4 essences. Once absorbed, an essence cannot be relinquished or replaced. You are able to absorb Sin Essence. Absorb, yes, no.
May I? Farrah asked, reaching for the essence.
Jason nodded, and she picked it up, turning it over in her hands.
Pretty, she said. I don't recognize it.
It's a Sin Essence, Jason said.
Are you sure? Farrah asked, examining the white and gold cube. It looks more like the holy type.
Rufus looked at Jason with a thoughtful expression. You have an ability to identify items, don't you?
Yeah, Jason said.
It's one of my outworlder things.
I've seen it before from other outworlders, Rufus said. Farrah placed the cube back on the table.
I've never heard of the Sin Essence before, she said. It must be one of the really rare ones. I would have thought a Sin Essence would be all dark colors.
You have a problem with dark colors? The midnight-skinned Rufus asked.
I knew a guy with the Sin Essence, Gary said. Back when I was growing up, there was this priest in my hometown who had it.
A priest had the Sin Essence? Farrah said. Who was he a priest of?
God of Justice, Gary said.
Seems a little odd, Rufus said. What kind of powers did he have?
I was just a kid, and it was a long time ago, Gary said. He was a bit of a hard man, the way those justice guys can be. I seem to recall a lot of smiting going on.
I could get behind some smiting, Jason said. Hold up, you guys have gods here?
Of course, Gary said. You don't have gods in your world?
We have religions, Jason said.
Isn't that the same thing?
Gary asked. No, Jason said. No, it is not. Do your gods turn up and do things where people can see them?
Of course they do, Farrah said. Anissa's a priestess. We've seen her god show up in person, spend some time in the worship square of any good-sized city. You'll see one sooner or later.
That must forestall a lot of theological debate, Jason said.
If you decide to use that sin essence, Gary said, you might not want to tell Anissa about it.
Why not? Jason asked.
She's a priestess of the god of purity, Farrah explained.
That's not good, Jason said. You have a problem with purity?
Gary asked. In my world, you have to keep an eye on the ones who talk about purity all the time. Leave them be, and they start rounding people up into camps, getting all enthusiastic about purging the unclean.
That does sound like something Anissa would get behind, Farrah said. Her church has this idea that the essences we use change who we are, so they only like the ones they see as holy or pure. They claim other essences taint the soul.
You say that like you think she's wrong, Jason said.
She is, Rufus said. Essence abilities aren't inherently good or bad. Like a sword, they can be used to oppress or protect. The accountability isn't with the tool, but the one wielding it. The only people who advocate that essences guide our actions instead of the other way around are religious zealots and people looking to abdicate the responsibility for their actions.
It was clear Rufus was speaking from experience, and not a good one. Didn't you all just finish explaining that I need to be careful of essences changing me? Jason asked.
That was a warning about rare and extreme cases, Rufus said. That's what the restricted list is for, but people try and claim that extends to all essences when it simply doesn't.
Not that Anissa would agree, Farrah said.
Anissa is wrong, Rufus said.
I'm going to pull out the restricted list, Farrah said, getting up. See if the sin essence is on it, before Jason decides what he's going to do.
Good idea, Rufus said.
Farrah caused her stone storage chest to rise out of the ground. It rose up through the terrace without breaking through the tiles, like it wasn't truly substantial until it had completely emerged. She took out a stone tablet from inside the chest. It looked to be made of swirling blue and white marble, with script written across it in what looked like actual gold. Farrah touched a finger to the script, and it started shifting about, the text changing in front of their eyes.
What is that? Jason asked.
This is called a living document, Farrah said. It stores large amounts of information and is connected to a central record. When the central record is updated, the information in the tablet changes. This one has the full list of every essence and essence combination known to the Magic Society.
Is that different to the Adventure Society you mentioned?
Yes, but we can explain all that once we get back to civilization, Rufus said.
The tablet is a lot more expensive than a paper copy of a list, Farrah said, but it's smaller and doesn't have to be replaced when the list is updated.
Does it get updated a lot? Jason asked.
There are all kinds of essences, Farrah explained, as she kept her eyes on the shifting text of the tablet. Many of them are extremely rare. Most people go for tried and tested combinations, but there's always someone trying new things.
Ah, here we are.
She found what she was looking for in the tablet, and the text stopped changing about.
We can look up an essence and see what combinations are known for it, as well as any restricted combinations, Farrah said. Looks like your sin essence is in the rarest category. There really aren't a lot of them going around.
Is it restricted? Jason asked.
Not by itself, Farrah said. Not a big list of known combinations. Looks like there is one restricted combination. Never heard of the succubus essence before. Probably because it takes two insanely rare essences.
What about the essences Jason has? Rufus asked.
Hold on. Dark, blood, and sin, right?
That's what I have, Jason said.
That combination is actually here, Farrah said. It produces the Doom Essence, another one I've never heard of. Not restricted, so good news.
Did you say the Doom Essence? Jason said.
I did, Farrah said, putting away the tablet. Sounds imposing, right?
Is that something I really want to run around with? Jason asked.
Of course you do, Gary said. Who's going to mess with the guy with the Doom Essence?
Did it say what kind of abilities it produces? Rufus asked.
Affliction specialist is what's listed, she said.
Affliction specialist? Jason asked. Is that like a death by a thousand cuts kind of thing?
Yeah, Gary said. Ongoing damage, debuffs.
Did you just say debuffs? Jason asked.
Yeah, that's where...
I know what debuffs are, Jason said. I'm just wondering how directly my ability translated that word.
So what do you think? Rufus asked.
Afflictions are an uncommon specialty, and the exact opposite of what Farrah does. Her damage powers are immediate and explosive, but she exhausts herself quickly. An affliction specialist is weaker in short fights, but unparalleled in drawn-out conflict.
I don't know, Jason said.
I don't know what's good.
I say go for it, Farrah said. There aren't a lot of affliction specialists, which will put you in demand.
You'll get called out for all the big fights, too, Gary said. When it comes to the really tough monsters, you want staying power. In a battle like that, someone who burns through all their mana like Farrah is just trashy.
Hey!
Jason looked at Rufus.
What do you think I should do?
Rufus gathered his thoughts for a moment before answering. Affliction specialists usually don't have abilities that will hit hard and fast. That gives them a harder time with what most people consider the easy fights, Rufus said. As a trade-off, they become more and more dangerous the longer a fight goes on. They have endurance. An enemy others will exhaust themselves fighting. An affliction specialist can fight multiples of at once. It isn't an easy path, though. It requires good judgment to avoid losing a fight before you really get going.
There's also the intimidation factor, Gary said. Smart people don't mess with affliction specialists. Poisons, cures, setting your insides on fire. Even if you kill an affliction specialist, you might be a dead man walking. No one wants that kind of enemy.
There is certainly a social factor, Rufus said. Affliction masters scare people.
Should I do it then?
Jason asked. Use these essences I have?
My advice would be yes, you should, Rufus said. It doesn't matter if the easy fights aren't quite as easy. The hard fights are what matter. You're going to need skills to make it work, which you don't have right now. But I can teach you.
Now there's an offer not to refuse, Gary said.
Agreed, Farrah said. Rufus's family runs one of the most exclusive prep academies for adventurers in the world. Kings go to that school. If he's willing to teach you, let him.
We all owe you, Jason, Rufus said. If it weren't for you, we'd be dead right now, and we aren't going to forget that. So we'll do our best to help you find your feet as an adventurer. Maybe you can eventually discover a way home.
Thanks, Jason said. Although I wouldn't have gotten out of there without you either. If I'd just ran out of that chamber, I'd be in the middle of the desert. No water, no idea where I was, or where to go. Even if the cultists hadn't chased me down, I'd have died out there anyway.
I don't know about that, Gary said. You seem to have a way of turning situations around.
I think turning the sun around is a bit beyond me, Jason said. He placed a hand on the blood essence sitting on the table.
All right, he said. I guess we should do this before Anissa comes out.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about that, Farrah said. I left her buried in documents in the study. I think she's going to read every piece of paper in the whole manor to make sure she doesn't miss anything.
That's good, Jason said, because I have an awakening stone that seems a little questionable as well.
Jason picked up his two essences and stood up. He was concerned about passing out again, so he led them off the terrace and onto the grass, where they all sat on the lawn.
So how does this work? Farrah asked.
I just kind of do it, Jason said. I want to try something this time, though.
He held up the blood essence in his hands.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me when I held aloft my magic cube.
He raised the cube above his head with one hand.
What in the world are you doing? Farrah asked.
I told you I'm trying something, Jason said. I didn't expect it to work, but it wouldn't be the least plausible thing I've seen in the last day.
Jason lowered his arm back down.
I'm starting to suspect that it isn't just that you're an outworlder, Rufus said. I think you might be strange in any world.
Chapter 21 I Have the Power.
When Jason had used the dark essence, it had turned into smoke, painfully invading his body until he passed out. The blood essence instead melted over his hand, becoming a viscous liquid that crawled up his arm and started coating his torso as it seeped through his pores and into his skin. It savagely burned its way into his flesh, leaving him sprawled on the ground as he fought to endure the pain. Gritting his teeth, he barely managed to stave off unconsciousness. By the time the pain subsided, he was on all fours, rapidly panting. His clothes were wet with perspiration.
You have absorbed blood essence. You have absorbed 2 of 4 essences. Progress to iron rank, 50%. 2 of 4 essences. Blood essence has bonded to your power attribute, changing your power from normal to iron 0. Master all blood essence abilities to increase your power attribute.
You have awakened the blood essence ability, blood harvest. You have awakened 1 of 5 blood essence abilities.
That was interesting, Farrah said, voice clinical. Functionally, it appears similar to how a confluence essence is absorbed, although the strain on the subject is clearly increased. Too many unanswered questions for one subject. I wish I had more of you.
The subject has a name, Jason groaned painfully.
I wonder if the type of essence affects the process, Farrah mused. You said you passed out last time, yes? Perhaps subjects adapt with each event.
The first one was definitely worse, Jason said. Not that this one was a lot of fun.
I'm still going to need a moment.
What's your new ability? Gary asked. You should be able to feel it, right?
As Gary suggested, the new power had engraved itself into Jason, making itself a part of him. Ability, blood harvest, blood. Spell, drain. Cost, low mana. Cooldown, none. Current rank, iron, 0%. Effect, iron. Drain the remnant life force of a recently deceased body, replenishing health, stamina, and mana. Only affects targets with blood.
Looks like it's for healing up after a fight, Jason said.
Sounds like a good one, Gary said. Abilities with restrictions are usually more powerful, especially if it makes them hard to use in the middle of a fight.
Who doesn't love a balanced ability? Jason said.
A healing ability, too, Gary said. That's especially good when you don't have a healer with you. We go through a lot of potions.
Yes, we do, Farah agreed. But you have a healer, Jason said.
Anissa isn't a permanent part of the team, remember? Rufus said. This contract is for her church. They asked us to take her along, give her some field experience. Seemed like a good deal for both sides.
Seemed? Jason asked.
She can be a little judgmental, Farah said.
A lot judgmental, Gary said.
Also cold, Farah said.
Weren't you the one calling me the subject a minute ago? Jason asked.
Don't talk behind her back, Rufus scolded. If you can't say it to her face, then don't say it.
Now you're being judgmental, Gary said. Gary.
Should I use my other essence next? Jason asked. Or should I use some of these awakening stones to get more abilities?
Essences first, Farah said. Your abilities are based on the essence and stone you got them from, obviously, but also on the essences and abilities you already have. Using all your essences first means your abilities will better complement one another.
If you awaken too many abilities before you have all your essences, Rufus said, your abilities will lack focus. There will be more random powers that don't work as well together.
Synergy, Jason said. Makes sense. Another essence it is. Not quite back in shape for the next one, though. I might just lay here for a little bit.
Jason lay back on the grass while he recovered his strength. He took the chance to ask the others where they would be going once they left the manor. They told him about a city on the coast, the only city in the entire desert region.
All right, Jason said, sitting up. I think I'm good to go again.
He sat cross-legged on the grass, the sin essence in his hands.
You are able to absorb sin essence. Absorb, yes, no.
The white and gold cube started to shrink as motes of light emerged from it and floated around Jason. By the time the entire cube vanished, the light swirling around Jason had become a bright corona.
Are you sure that's a sin essence?
Gary asked, only to be shushed by Farah. The lights began sinking into Jason's skin, a feeling of internal pressure building as they filled his body. More of the lights pushed their way inside, and discomfort became pain as he felt like someone was trying to inflate him. Eventually, the sensation passed, the pressure giving way to relief. It felt like finally taking a wee after needing one really badly.
You have absorbed sin essence. You have absorbed 3 of 4 essences. Progress to iron rank, 75%. 3 of 4 essences. Sin essence has bonded to your recovery attribute, changing your recovery from normal to iron, 0. Master all sin essence abilities to increase your recovery attribute. You have awakened the sin essence ability, punish. You have awakened 1 of 5 sin essence abilities.
That one wasn't so bad, Jason said. I think I'm getting used to it.
Good, Rufus said, because you need to do it again.
As if to punctuate Rufus's words, 3 shimmering, incorporeal cubes emerged from Jason's torso and started spinning around him in the air. The cubes were images of the essences he had absorbed, plainly lacking in substance. The images converged in front of Jason, interposing themselves over one another. Once the three cubes merged into one, the result was a new cube, swirling with light and shadow. The pattern shifted like thick oils mixed together.
The confluence of your essences has produced the Doom essence. This is a confluence essence that you may claim or reject. If you choose not to claim this confluence essence, it will not be available to you again.
It's like a yin-yang lava lamp, Jason said. What happens if I don't take it?
Then I slap you over the back of the head, Gary said.
If you refuse your confluence essence, Rufus said, you can only replace it with a normal essence. I promise you that is not the way to go. Only the clergy reject the confluence essence, because their gods give them divine versions of regular essences.
Jason nodded, reaching out with both hands to grab the essence. The immaterial image became solid the moment Jason touched it. Light and shadow started streaming out, wreathing Jason in a strange mix of light and darkness. It then moved in on Jason, sinking into his body. Compared to the previous essences, it was uncomfortable at worst.
You have absorbed Doom essence. You have absorbed 4 of 4 essences. Progress to Iron Rank, 100%, 4 of 4 essences. Doom essence has bonded to your spirit attribute, changing your spirit from normal to Iron 0. Master all Doom essence abilities to increase your spirit attribute.
You have awakened the Doom Essence ability, Inexorable Doom. You have awakened 1 of 5 Doom Essence abilities.
Once the essence was completely subsumed into Jason, a light started emerging from within his body. It was a strange, grey light, washing out the colours of everything it touched, from the grass to the adventurers sitting around him. They were unconcerned, Rufus smiling broadly, while Farah laughed, and Gary clapped enthusiastically.
You have absorbed 4 of 4 essences. All your attributes have reached Iron Rank. You have reached Iron Rank. You have gained damage reduction against normal rank damage sources. You have gained increased resistance to normal rank effects. You have gained the ability to sense auras. You have gained the ability to sustain yourself using sources of concentrated magic.
Jason leapt to his feet. He felt like he'd just been stabbed with a huge adrenaline needle, bursting with energy. He laughed out loud, looking down at his own arms. The light was shining right through his skin.
This feels amazing!
The others also got to their feet.
I feel like I need to go climb a mountain or something, Jason said.
He was too caught up in the sensation of power surging through him to notice the others giving him sympathetic looks.
Yeah, well, Gary said. Just give it a moment.
What for? Jason asked. Why are you all backing away?
The light started to diminish, drawing back inside Jason's body. As it did, he experienced a rising nausea, the sensation growing and growing as he resisted the urge to throw up. But he failed. He collapsed to his hands and knees, vomit spraying out of him. Red-brown pus started oozing from his pores, staining his clothes and coating his skin in oily filth. He kept vomiting and vomiting, bloody tears pouring from his eyes. Finally, he fell unconscious, dropping into a pool of his own body fluids. A terrifying stench was coming off of him, and the others backed even further away. Even in unconsciousness, pus and vomit fought their way free of his body. The others looked on until it finally subsided.
That was a lot, Gary said.
I've done a lot of essence rituals, Farah said, but I've never seen anyone purge that many impurities before.
What do you think he's been eating?
Gary asked.
He's from another world, so there's no telling, Farah said.
Do you think we should have told him about that part? Rufus asked.
Not at all, Gary said. Did you see the look on his face? completely worth it.
I kind of feel bad, though, Rufus said.
It isn't like it would have been any different if he knew, Farrah said. We all went through it.
And he's an outworlder, Gary said. He didn't absorb his essences the same way we did. We couldn't be sure this would happen.
Probably should have told him to strip down first, though, Farrah said. There'll be no getting the stink out of those clothes.
Gary, Rufus said, at least go drag him out of his own filth.
You can do it, if you want, Gary said. I'm not going over there.
Farrah? Rufus asked, but she shook her head.
If you're so concerned, Farrah said, then you go move him.
Rufus looked over at Jason, splayed out in the stinking puddle. I'm sure he'll be fine.
Chapter 22 Apocalypse Stone.
I need a shower, Jason said.
You just had a shower, Rufus said.
I need another shower. The stink won't go away.
Oh, we're aware, Farrah said.
After waking up, Jason had been fed a stamina potion and pointed in the direction of one of the manor's bathrooms. After washing away the gunk that had oozed out of the very pores of his skin, he had changed into fresh clothes.
What was that stuff all over me? Jason asked.
We told you, Farrah said. Reaching iron rank made your body advance closer to a state of perfection, which included purging your body of impurities.
There is no way I was that impure.
It did seem like a lot, Gary said, wrinkling his nose. Maybe he should have another shower.
He still has awakening stones to use, Rufus said, and I want us out of here and on the trail by noon.
Jason frowned as Rufus took out a pocket watch. You have noon in this world? They explained timekeeping in their world to Jason as they went back outside. To his surprise, it seemed exactly the same as his own. He couldn't be sure how close their hours, minutes, and seconds